Welcome to the Drink Till We're Funny podcast, an Alt-P production. Leave us a voicemail at 773-828-4397 or send us an email at rubberspatula@dtwfpodcast.com.
On tonight's show, Civic Duty, Birthday Wood, and Grounded at Louis Armstrong International Airport.
Nuts roasting on an open fire.
Step a little closer to that fire and get yourself warm.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, it's nice and toasty.
You got some marshmallows? I want to make some s'mores.
How many do you want?
Some more. Just one make one and we'll more. Cook s'mores.
Oh, it's so good to hear both of your voices in the same room.
Well, it's so good to hear both of you not being in Atlanta.
We weren't.
New Orleans.
Hi, everyone. This is Justin.
And Dina.
This is John. Please listen carefully as our menu options have changed.
To hear a story about masturbation, press 1.
To hear a story that goes nowhere, press 2.
To hear a witty pun based on options 1 or 2, press 3.
That's me.
Boop.
I think you said, shut the fuck up.
Ringing the cocksucker.
Great. Well, we've got plenty of those.
Boop, 3 orange whips.
We were in the car. We were driving in New Orleans, and Dina needed to call someone at work, and so she called into the parlance. How many times did you say the name?
5 times.
She's like, on a cell. Oh, obviously, but
she's like, George Bush. Now ringing Ronald Reagan.
Now ringing Shazma Butt Bushnell.
At least that would be somewhat close.
Yeah, it was like it was way off. Awful. It was way off.
Steve Pettirelli. And I said something like Jim Jones with his Kool-Aid. And Steve Pettirelli is a guy I actually know. Not at work, but a guy I knew down to the W.
Oh, the W Hotel?
No, the WIU. Oh. He was an Italian boy from Highland Park. Imagine that.
Oh. Hmm. Along those lines, I knew a Jew once from Skokie.
No.
It's the oddest thing.
Dot or feather?
Dot. Wait a minute. Oh, you get me every time.
Every time.
Every single fucking time.
Well, I missed you guys.
I missed you terribly. Our listeners missed you. Did you see all the emails?
He saw them.
I saw them. I didn't respond to them, but I saw them.
Don't respond to any of them.
But I did miss you guys, and it's fun to have other people on the show, but I do like doing the podcasts with you, but I'm glad to be back.
Did you listen to our New Orleans cast?
I did.
The water cast.
There was a lot of witty banter going about.
No, not really.
It was okay. It was fun. I've noticed that people see, no matter what we do, people just like it.
Well, let's not get too arrogant now.
No, I don't mean that in an arrogant way. It's sort of in a shocked, I don't mean everyone loves it no matter how bad it sucks. I just mean that...
When we think it's a bad show.
Right. We get an email that says, oh my God, that was so great. Or you get an IM that says, great show this week. And
except they're on episode 15.
That's true.
A lot of people going back lately. And you know what I've also noticed about our listenership? I think 80% of the people who listen are graphic designers.
I think so, too. Which, why does our website suck, then?
Right.
That's what I'm trying to figure
Hello.
Out.
Hello. We had one of them try to get us to find him a job.
That's right.
I didn't see that.
Well, it was in the email.
Oh. Yeah.
It was only in there for 3 days.
I wouldn't have responded to it.
It was there and gone before you got to it.
Well, speaking of our listeners, the girl I work with, my friend Laura, said the other day, not the other day, she has this habit where she'll same time me out of the blue. Justin's earpiece just fell off in his ear.
It came into, it was like a little worm crawled in my ear, and I pulled it out, and
it's like,
it left.
Khan had put a bug in your ear.
She has this habit.
Dina doesn't get that joke or find it funny. She has this habit of, she'll same time me out of the blue, and she'll say something like, "Whose basement?" And it'll be up to me to remember a couple podcasts back when something like basement was mentioned.
Oh. Dan did that to me when he would listen. He'd be like, "I can't believe you said that."
It's like a four county story.
Right. Remind to which I want to respond, "Dude, what the fuck?" No. Which could be DWTF.
DWTF.
A cousin to us.
A wholly owned subsidiary. I forget now. My podcast life and my social life have become so intertwined that I forget. I can't tell. Did we talk about that on the show? Did we not?
Terrible. I have the same problem.
And I can't remember. And then I feel bad when I ask. I feel like, let's talk about my podcast again. But I'm like, no, I'm trying to remember. Do we have that conversation? Because I know I said it to what I thought was a bunch of people, but it may have been just to a microphone.
Well, I just continue as if I'm telling it for the first time, because usually it's the first time that I've told it in my head because I don't remember telling it the first time.
Uh-huh. So can I get a map just for that?
Could you diagram that for me?
Good one day.
Oh, and then you have Michael, who just, regardless of whether he thinks he's told, he knows he's told the story three times before, and he just tells it again as if it's the first time.
Why don't you just tell him?
They get a little better each time, though.
He gets better at telling
exactly
the story. So
the embellishments.
Are you saying one day it'll be a good story?
Well, let's not get crazy.
Do you think I have this opportunity to someday tell a good story?
Well, you know, there's if you're on the scale of 0 to 100, your natural storytelling ability will put you at, say, 50. Wherever you fall naturally, hard work is only going to get you an extra, like, 2 or 3 points.
Is that the Kreinfeld scale?
It's the Justin storytelling hypothesis.
Scale.
Scale. Do you have any lotion? Speaking of scales.
I do have some lotion. Would you like me to go get it for you?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Just don't touch my hands.
I won't.
Those aren't my hands.
Not a problem.
I finally bought Eat Shoots and Leaves. I started reading it when we were in the airport on the way home.
We used to play that as a kid.
Oh, yeah. And ladders. We got stuck in... Well, this is my bitch of the week, okay?
Oh, that's usually my role. It's so good to see someone else bitching.
This shit pissed me off. So we get to the airport, and first of all, there were storms in Chicago, so our flight was delayed by a lot.
5 hours.
That's a lot.
Oh my God.
When it's a 2-hour flight, it's a lot. Yeah. Well, we had an idiot kind of running the podium, if you will. I know it's a lectern. You don't have to correct me.
Please.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't...
Gate attendant.
Ooh, gatekeeper.
Gateway. Promise keeper.
Anyway, he wouldn't put our delay information up on the little sign behind him, and it wasn't on any of the monitors. So Justin called the American Airlines, as it turns out, and it's like, "Oh, do you want departure or arrival information?" And so he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's having the conversation.
I'm talking, and I finally get to, it's like, "Oh, so, hey, I can help you with that. So are we talking about departures, arrivals? What? Come on, talk to me, babe." And I finally...
Share with, yeah, apparently.
Oh. 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 What airport? Oh. So... So finally I get through the 6 prompts, and it's like, "Here is your gate information." And at that point, Dina, like, I don't know, she like points out a hot boy or something, and I'm like, "Oh, that's nice." And it's like, and so it stops. It stops and says, "Transferring you to an operator." So I have to hang up, call back, go through the whole thing. But I knew the routine this time, and you can just cut her off. She doesn't even care.
She tells you that if you listen.
You can interrupt me at any time. I don't mind.
Listen, you can talk over me. I don't give a shit. That's the new parlance.
So he calls a second time, and then he asks, you know, for the departure information, and it's like, "Oh, this flight has been delayed. Please check, you know, at the gate." And we're like, "Motherfucker, they're not putting the information there.
The screen is off. It's not in the terminal anywhere."
And this guy was making promises he couldn't keep. "Oh, we're all delayed, but that means everybody's delayed, so you'll all get your connecting flights.
Every last one of you, guaranteed, is not going to have any problem getting on your connecting flight." You just set somebody up, one of your fellow gate attenders.
One of your gatekeepers.
Gatekeepers in Chicago. Have you seen these planes? Have you seen these people deplaning before?
Oh, yeah.
Screaming about how they were told they would get their connecting flight.
What's that one HBO show or whatever?
Oh, Airline. On A&E.
Yeah, that's it. On HBO.
You know, that one show on HBO. Yeah, Airline on A&E. Right, yeah.
That's the one I meant.
Soprano, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. The one with the planes.
The one with the lesbians.
So we finally get... Oh, Jesus. F word. So we finally get enough information to realize we can actually leave the area where the gate is and get some dinner. Because he said, it'll be at least 2 hours. So we're like, all right, it's now about 5 o'clock. Let's go get some food. Those bitches down to the Louis Armstrong International Louis, Airport Louis, that Louis. They kept calling him Louis on the loudspeaker. Yeah, you'd think. They close all their restaurants, stores, everything at 5. And I don't know if it's because it was Easter or if that's the standard, but we couldn't even... We had to have peanut M&Ms.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
It's like being in Lincoln, Nebraska. Burn in hell, Lincoln, Nebraska.
See, but we paid full fare. That's the difference.
It was a direct flight, at least. Thank God. Could you imagine?
There was no layover in Muncie.
Ball State.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. At least there wasn't a line to get it through security again.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Which was... we had a... this girl was on top of her game. Well, she's sitting in her plastic chair at the gate. She
well,
checks. She
can't
checks
get it
everything.
Through security otherwise.
And I walk up, and at this point, our boarding passes say 4:30. It's like 7 o'clock. And I walk up and give her my ID and my boarding pass, and she lets me walk through... So Dina walks up and gives her a boarding pass.
No, we're the only two people going through security at this time. Mm-hmm. And clearly we were together because we stopped and demetalized.
We were making out.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mean, he had his cock in my ass.
So they should have known.
He had to pass
at
contraband.
At the time, I mean.
She's with me.
Until the knot gets out.
Did you? I remember as a kid the first time I saw this poor bitch, literally. dragging this dog around the yard, yelping and screaming. I'm like, what is going on? And I think it was my great uncle at the time, and it's like, they're making dog babies. They're making little puppies. I'm like, it doesn't look like it. Looks like she's hurting him. Well, love hurts.
If you do it right.
So what did she say? You gave her your boarding pass.
Yeah,
which is
she's like, what time is your flight? I'm like, well, now it's about 9 o'clock. And she's like, oh.
Not 4:30.
Right, clearly. I missed it. So then she just was like, oh, well, okay. That was a viable response.
Okay, this proves that the response to Hurricane Katrina did not work if security is that lax at Louis Armstrong.
The funniest shit I've ever seen in an airport was seen in this airport in particular. Well, no, was it there or was it in O'Hare? Do you remember the sign?
Scanning. Oh. Sorry, my levels just went. Oh, this is funny. We were leaving the secure area.
Oh, yes.
And the entrance to security is all behind this big, huge glass wall.
Clear glass.
Right. And posted about every 3 feet are these signs done on, like, print shop.
On
Comic Sans.
Right. Mm-hmm. That say, do not view the screening process. Hold on.
It is prohibited.
On clear glass.
Yes. He wrote, we had to put it in the.
Watching screening process is prohibited.
And I'm like, take a picture. So, of course, he's like, I don't want TSA on my ass. I don't want to be in jail tonight, Dina.
Yeah, well, I was like, you can take a picture if you want, but if you're not even allowed to watch the screening, and all it is, because, you know, first of all those people with them x-ray machines, have you seen them? They have asses the size of Montana, and mm-hmm. their back is facing you, and they just don't want you looking at their ass. I think that's what it is.
That's mm-hmm. probably what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I let Dina, I was like, you can take a picture if you want. And she's like, you know, that maybe doesn't sound like the best idea.
There was no
one
there, but it was funny shit.
Well, and some, like, lesbian slash, I don't know if it was a man or a woman.
Was it an angry lesbian?
And she
Tranny.
They got a big chuckle out of
she slash he.
It was either a librarian or professor. It was so it wasn't like a it wasn't tranny androgynous. It was like old
academic
androgynous. Yes, academic androgyny. We've all had those professors. Oh, good that stuff. Was a trip. So we got home finally. I don't know what time you actually made it home. I made it home at like 12:45.
Well, I didn't have to take planes, trains, and automobiles to get there.
I had to take the bus. And then, you know, as if all of that wasn't enough, I get on the bus. And I'm fairly new. So the story's going to mean all these bitches that we know or take public transportation all the time that are right now on the tube listening to this, they're going to think this is no big deal. But I'm sort of new to the bus, taking the train a lot. So I've had two experiences now with wheelchairs on the bus. And the first one was on my way home. I'm sitting there. It is 12:30 in the morning. And we're getting ready to take off. And here comes this guy. And he gets on the bus with his wheelchair. And he is a homeless man. Am I allowed to say homeless?
No, you're not allowed to say man.
A homeless person.
Thank you.
Smells like urine.
Of course. Smells like Bourbon Street.
Right. And not in a good way.
Does Bourbon Street smell like urine?
Oh.
In the worst way.
That's a whole nother discussion.
All right.
Dina was like, oh, it's so dirty after the hurricane. I'm like, it was dirty before the hurricane. This is new. This is Bourbon Street. So this man gets on, and he is literally holding his pants up. He smells like urine, and there's a bottle of liquid in like a Gatorade bottle on the chair. I have no idea what to do. I've never seen someone get on the bus with
was
a wheelchair.
Was he sitting by you, or why were you so concerned?
Well, I was sitting towards the front, but as I learned, the bus has seats that lift up, and there are wheelchair, like little locking mechanisms. Oh. So now I have never seen one of these things in my life. And you know, I pride myself on knowing how shit works and what buttons do and levers. It. So I'm freaking out because I'm like, I may be called to assist in case of emergency. And I did not know how this exit door works. So I'm sitting there going, God, please don't make me responsible for doing something. And he smelled so bad. And then he didn't have money to pay his transfer. It was like 15 cents. So he's asking for money. And if I had had the change, I would have given it to him. I didn't have any change. And
not
I don't know what to do.
Giving him change means he has to get off.
Well, it did. So we go down and the bus driver like stops. And I don't think this was the first time this guy got on the bus without any money. And he's like, if you don't have the 15 cents, you have to go. And then so the guy's like pleading with the bus. And I'm starting to feel like an asshole, kind of. Like I'm sitting here. I'm trying not to make eye contact. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm just, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to jump in the middle of the situation and try and help. I mean, if it was life or death, it's not like I don't wish ill things to happen to this guy. So finally, this cute boy all the way in the back, he's like, he's got it. And he jumps up and he runs down in his flip flops and he's like, okay. So he puts the money in and we keep going. Well, the guy like sort of pushes his wheelchair into the area where you can lock it in. And then he looks at me. he's like, keep in mind, one hand is holding his pants up so that they do not fall down. And I swear he's wearing a diaper underneath. So he smells like piss. He looks like he hasn't bathed in at least 3 weeks. And he's like, gonna topple over. He clearly has a physical condition that, you know, limits his mobility. And he just looks at me like I'm supposed to know what to do, which for me is one of the worst situations, to be expected to do something and not know what to do. So he's like, could you turn that around? And I'm like, just turn it around. Just, you know, I'm like asking for full instructions from a man who can barely say his own name or remember his own
name. He wanted to know, like, how many degrees.
Right. I'm like, he's like, yeah, just turn around. So I'm like, okay. So I grab it with one hand and it's got this interesting feel. It's some sort of film.
What
on
were
the,
you turning around?
The wheelchair. Because he's sitting in the chair at this point across from the little area. So I turn it around like he asked, not the way that it gets locked in. And I at this point, I don't even realize that that's what he's trying to accomplish because I've never seen anyone do this before. And so I like turn it around. And then as soon as the bus driver like presses on the brakes, like the wheelchair slides down and then it slides back. And then it's like sliding into his leg. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, and I should have known when the doors opened before the guy even got on, everyone around me stood up and immediately moved to the back of the bus.
Oh,
and
no.
It's one of those moments like they know something I don't know. And I quickly realized what it was. So then he's like, well, could you just, you know, just lock it in. I'm like, bitch, I don't even know what the fuck, how this shit works. So I look and I finally sort of see where it locks in, and I got the wheelchair into the little lock and everything was okay. And then I got off before he did, because then I thought, I'm going to carry this urine soaked man in my arms down the steps, and then he's going to want me to wheel him home. So
to your place.
He doesn't have a home.
Can I use your shower? So that's one experience. And then the other day, it was the middle of the day, I was going downtown for a meeting, and I get on the bus, and again the bus stops and everyone around me gets up and walks over to another part of the bus, and I'm like,
did you follow this time?
Well, it took me a second, and then the driver starts putting the ramp down, and it's a woman, and her daughter is in a wheelchair. And they start to get up, and I'm just starting, it's all happening very quickly, and I'm just starting to put it all together that I'm sitting on that seat that flips up. And so this bitch across the aisle from me looks at me. She's like, you're going to have to get up. Like, I was going to sit there, and like I was intentionally.
She said that?
She's like, you're going to have to get up. So I'm like, so I look like an ass again. I'm sitting there. I'm like in a shirt and tie. And I know they think that I'm that, you know, that guy with my latte in one hand and Blackberry in the other. And
really, it's like a Frappuccino.
Exactly. Hello. I don't even like lattes. So I'm so worried now that every time I get on a bus, there's a wheelchair. But now I know how the lever works. I know how the seat works.
You know to get up and move
to
the back.
I know the etiquette. And the thing is if you're sitting on the seat, you stand up and then you lift up the chair so that when they get on, they can get into place. So now I know. So if any of you were riding either the 77 or the 156 and some asshole didn't know how the wheelchair worked, I got it all figured out now.
Good for you.
I love that just in the retelling of that story, you got the anxiety all
over
again.
Oh, I did. I was terrified because I hate being in a situation where I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I appear to be rude or insensitive, because I don't. I'm a softy, really.
Well,
and I don't just mean my cock.
Give it about 5 minutes.
Well, I did some traveling this weekend.
Oh.
As it was Easter weekend. And or Passover weekend.
Passover?
Passover weekend?
Well, I went home to my parents' house. And it was also my father's birthday last Friday.
Oh, do you want to give him a happy birthday? Howdy do?
Well, happy birthday, Dad. Howdy do. If you ever listen to this. No, son.
No, son.
Yeah. Well, I talked to my dad on his actual birthday, which was
Good Friday.
No, actually, I'm sorry. It was Holy Thursday. It was my
That's birthday. John, by the way. John is speaking.
This is John speaking. I didn't go to New Orleans.
No.
And so I talked to my dad on his birthday. Of course, John reminded me at like 9 at night that I needed to call my dad to wish him a happy birthday. And because I forgot, but I took presents home to them, so all is well. But anyway, I called my dad, and he's like, I said, well, where's mom tonight? What's going on? And he's like, well, your mom told me to mow the lawn, and then she went off to church. And I found out later that my mom didn't, like, do anything for my dad's birthday. And in fact, what she did do for him on his birthday was tell him to mow the lawn.
But isn't her birthday, like, the day after or before or something?
It's actually, what's today? It's tomorrow.
We can note pause if you need to use the phone room.
Right. No. That would be kind of a fun conversation to have.
No, you can't pause because it'll be like 40 minutes.
Are you going to get your mom a tool belt for her birthday?
No, I'm not.
She has one.
Power drill.
It has scrapbooking supplies in it.
So that doesn't make her any less of a lesbian.
My mother's not a lesbian.
Hey, I stuck up for your mother in New Orleans.
Thank you. She appreciates it. Did you say that in my stead?
Yes.
Thank you.
I thought you listened to the show.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, you did say that, didn't you?
My mother is not a lesbian.
Thank you. And yes. Somebody nodged, didn't they, on the show?
Bart.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bart. Trab.
That's what I said.
I know. Trabby.
Trabby.
So anyway, I found out that's how he spent his birthday, was mowing the lawn at my mother's behest, Well,
your mother lives in a behest.
If I tried
just call
to
it a house, you pretentious bastard.
My mother won't let anyone mow her behest, as it were.
This is my behest,
for her.
China. So,
do you trim your behest or do you shave it clean?
I get 3 points for shaving.
Wait, so, what's your points?
What is the exchange rate on spouse points and Weight Watcher points?
They're called, shit, I don't remember, what, activity points.
Woo!
So you can only use 4 per day, though.
I have a lot of Marriott Rewards points saved up. If I were on Weight Watchers, could I trade some of those in?
And eat all you wanted? Sure. That
okay,
would work.
Good.
I just racked up about 20,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. So what I found out that my mom did for my dad's birthday, 4 counties later.
LaSalle, Peru.
Whiteside, Winnebago. I anticipated my mom would be buying my dad an iPod for his birthday because that's what she wants. Well, I get home and I go in the lean-to, the whatever, carport, and I
lean to, yeah. Lean cuisine.
Do you take the lift to get to the lean to?
Don't you guys know what a lean to is?
It's something in Ewan.
It's like a shed built on the side of something else. It sort of.
It just leans into it.
Into it.
Where'd that come from? Just leaned into it.
Well, I walk into the carport and there's this big pile of, well, there's this big trunk of wood that has a 2x4. Like nailed onto the top of it, and I say to my dad, "Dad, why do you have that big log of hedge? Hedge is Osage orange, for those who want to know, which is neither of you two
or anyone listening."
Well, I said, "Dad, why do you have that big hedge log there?" And he's like, "Well, that was your mom's birthday present to me. She got me a log of hedge."
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yes.
What is one? You, if, let's say one did want a hedge of log. What, no. Or log of hedge.
Error syntax.
What does one do with it?
Well, my dad's a carpenter, so he does potentially have a use for it.
So it's just wood.
It's wood.
To like make shit.
Well, yeah, but.
Well, your mom gave your dad wood.
Isn't that what any man wants on his birthday?
That's not especially.
That's what I wanted.
A lesbian?
The man doesn't have a prostate anymore. He takes whatever he can get.
Apparently he got wood.
So that's what dad got for his birthday.
Poor guy.
Well, I hate to tell another travel story, but...
You're gonna.
I'm gonna, because... The trip that never ends. I got home late Sunday. Monday morning, I get up. I'm going to work. I need to go to work. So I'm in the shower. I'm washing my hair and I'm using my sponge to clean out my crevices. And there's a knock at my door.
Oh, no.
Somebody asking for butter?
Well, nobody should be knocking on my door. There's nobody at, it's like, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. There's no reason for anyone to knock on my door. So I ignore it because, first of all, I'm naked. I'm in the shower. I'm not going to get out to find out that it's the cable sales guy. Hey. Yeah, exactly. So I keep going, and they knock again. Louder, more insistent, more urgent, and I ignore it again. So this goes on for about 2 minutes, and I just ignore it because I'm going to finish my
good
shower.
Good for you. Well, being assertive in the shower.
Exactly. There's no reason for someone to be knocking on my door. So I get out, and I start getting ready, and my cell phone starts ringing. And so now I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. This is not good. Somebody is knocking on my door. Now my cell. So I go, and I don't recognize the number. I answer it, and it's my building manager. And he's like, I'm really sorry to disturb you, but I need you to come down to the garage as soon as you can. I'm really sorry, but please come down to the garage.
Were you panicking?
I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I throw on clothes and I go down to the garage, and there's a squad car in the garage, and there's these people standing there, and I walk over to my car, and there is glass everywhere. All over the floor of the garage. And I'm looking, and there's glass all over from this other car across the aisle. Now, this is a relatively small garage. It's got like 18 spots, and it's all locked up and all of that. And there's my driver door all busted out. And so I'm looking, and the guy's like, yeah, you know, they think they happened overnight. and there was nothing in my car. And in fact, so this trip to New Orleans saved me about $800 because what would have been in my car
was Tom Tom,
my GPS that I took with us to put in the rental car. And otherwise, I'd leave that in my car every night. So somebody broke into the garage and broke into two cars, mine, and then there was this Jeep across the way.
You wouldn't understand.
I didn't understand. And so I'm just looking, and I don't get worked up about, honestly, I don't get worked up about this stuff. I mean, some people like freak out from a door ding or whatever. You know, it's a car. I have insurance.
File your claim with State Farm and have your money in 6 days.
Exactly. So I'm not freaking out, but immediately, now, as you know, and some of our listeners know from past podcasts, my degree is in law enforcement. So I took a criminal investigations class.
Oh, did you get out your dusting kit?
Well, I learned all about crime scenes and all that. Plus, I'm an avid fan of CSI. So I immediately find myself processing the crime scene.
And you stayed at Holiday Inn Express
last night. I did. So I'm like looking at it, and I'm talking to the building manager, and I'm like, well, because they're trying to figure out what time it happened. And I'm like, well, you need to find out what time the woman who parks next to me left for work, because the glass from my window is all over her parking space, which means that it happened after she left.
Oh.
If her car had been there when they broke the glass, it would have all piled up because it would have hit her car.
Of course.
So, and I started looking at the crime scene, and I'm looking inside the car, and the cop, believe it or not, the Chicago police, the cop responded and filled out the report. They sent a crime scene investigator, and they dusted for prints. I did not expect that at all.
Is it because it's a Bimmer?
I don't know. I don't know why. I just, stuff like that is so petty compared to most crimes. I just wouldn't think. And that's part of the problem. I have a couple of friends who are cops, is that because of shows like CSI, you know, somebody loses their iPod and they expect, you know, Gil Grissom to show up and dust everything for prints and run a UV test and check people's hands for residue. And it's like, dude, it was an iPod. Like, we're not going to spend thousands of dollars and resources to find your iPod.
Now, is this Gil Bellis on the
Gil Grissom is on the CSI. Oh, okay. So they came and they didn't find any prints. And so after that was all done, and the other person whose car was broken into was gayer than John. I mean,
that's gay.
He's like on the phone. He's like, yeah.
The door shut. He can't hear you.
He's like, oh my God. It's like they've broken my car and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, he's like, what did they get? And I'm like, actually, they got nothing. There was nothing in my car.
Did you get his
number? Pissed off? No, he's the partner. Oh. I'm like, what did they get? What did they get out of your car? He's like, they just took some CDs. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I hope they weren't good ones.
Cher. Her final tour. He's
like, number six. So he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't even remember. He's like, I have to go back. He's like, I've got to go. I've got to get out of here. I've got to go to work.
I'm so upset.
And so it was quite a traumatic experience. And they finally all left, and I was able to then clean up. And the building guy was great. He brought the little shop vac, because Lord knows I wouldn't have anything to actually clean up.
We learned that 2 episodes ago.
Right. So we clean up. So I get into the car, and I found a piece of evidence.
A fingernail?
Well, no, I found something that the perp, that's what we call it. For the rest of you, that would be perpetrator.
Was it semen? Did you use your black line?
Well, there was semen. There were traces of semen, but I don't think
they were yours.
This is what I found. This was in the center console. And by the way, my car, I don't know if you've been in my garage, I'm parked up against a wall.
Right.
So the only thing they did, they broke the window. They reached in, saw there was nothing sitting out. So then they decided to go through the glove box. So I can just picture that to get to the glove box, this person had to have their feet like hanging out of the window of my car, and they're digging through, and they pulled everything out of the glove box. They found nothing. So in the process of crawling over the center console, this must have fallen out of their pocket. I haven't shown them yet, but I'm keeping this as evidence in case I need to testify to the Supreme Court.
You need to testify.
I just feel like it's going to be something related to Starbucks. I don't know.
It's not, but this is what I found.
It's a peanut in its shell.
It is a salted, roasted peanut in the shell.
They should go dust prints at Wrigley Field.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with it. I thought about eating it because I was a little hungry.
No.
Don't you remember the Tylenol scare of 82?
Maybe that's his M.O.
Right. That's his signature.
That's his Imodium.
Oh, I bet you could read a lot out of this.
This could be
signature.
A copycat now that you've told people what he's doing.
Yeah, all over the country, there are going to be busted windows and just a single roasted shelled peanut will be left in the center
it's
console.
It's like a trinket. We is for vendetta. Leaving roses everywhere.
Well, you know, some people take something from the crime scene. This guy leaves them. He leaves peanuts behind. He's like, you know what? It's going to take you a while to clean this up. I don't want you to go hungry.
That looks like it's a circus-sized penis. Penis.
Is it like the bearded lady? How big is a circus penis exactly, John?
I think of when I think of a big circus penis, I think of a bright orange fluffy.
Yes, I love those. You know which ones I'm talking about? They're like,
yes, I know what you mean.
Foamy, gelatiny.
Oh.
Love it.
So they came the next day and they replaced the glass. Everything's fine.
Like, did you get to work or did you have to have a bag over your door?
No. Oh, God. No.
Duct
please.
Tape and a hefty.
I put a piece of cardboard. No, I luckily.
Drew a silhouette of his head. He went for the passerbys to be able to see him.
I would have cut a picture of some hot guy out of a magazine or something and put it. See, I would have gotten a little toot toot.
You should have cut like a half a window that was cut out a little bit
so it was rolled down.
Oh. Are you done with that?
No, I was just saying. I just worked from home that day. The next morning, they came in the glass. So I was luckily, my schedule was flexible enough that I didn't have to take time off and all of that, and it's all fixed. So.
See, I kind of wish Tom Tom was in the car because I know you. You'd file your claim, and how much does a Tom Tom cost?
Like $800.
You'd get your $800 quickly. And then you'd go buy one off eBay for like $650, pocket the extra $150.
Well, the problem is that, and a lot of, can I give an insurance tip of the week?
You can get a what?
This is a quick insurance tip. Just so you know, your car insurance only covers your car. The contents of your vehicle are covered by your homeowner's or renter's insurance. So while my comprehensive, which is what covered the glass, has a zero deductible, my renter's insurance has a $500 deductible.
Oh, shitty.
So I would have gotten $300.
Well, then I'm glad Tom Tom was safely tucked
in
my
trunk. But that's also a good way to refresh your technology because you get the money that you paid, what you done had paid when you bought it, and then you buy the newest model that's the same price
probably
but has
cheaper, even.
New features on it.
Ooh. Well, speaking of cars, while I was home, my brother was we were joking about my brother's former car, which was a Ford Escort. He had had it. He had had this Escort, 94.
It was a good year.
Yeah.
Was that Brownie, too?
Brownie was an 89.
Oh, Brownie was way old.
Just missed the 90s.
Just by a scotch. I had the automatic seat belts. Remember those?
Oh, yes. I had those in my Camry. Those are very nice. Yeah. Well, Tom had this Escort for...
Tom?
Yeah, I got that.
Had this Escort for probably a month, and he had just graduated from the Marines. He was all done, and he was coming home. No.
Sorry.
He was coming home after his four-year stint in the Marines, and he thought that the four-cylinder Ford Escort... if he installed a hitch on the back of it, could tow a U-Haul from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, over the Appalachian Mountains, down to the Quincy.
Okay, a four-cylinder Escort can barely haul your suitcase in the trunk.
You have to turn the air conditioner off to get any sort of speed if you're driving.
Especially if you have a passenger.
Especially if you got three fatties in it, you know? Remember the Saturn?
Oh, yes.
We had to turn the air off just to go anywhere. So anyway, telling the story is funny. At the time, it wasn't so funny. But as soon as he was off the base, like by 100 feet... the transmission blew, and he had to rent a hotel in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina for the next
You're a civilian
week.
Now.
That's exactly what they did to him. Well, anyway, that was the start of this car's legacy. over the course of the time that he had the car.
Wait, he kept the car after this?
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't get rid of that car.
Oh, I forgot what we're talking about.
Just put a new tranny in and it'll work just fine.
He did get a new tranny for it. But
the trannies are best when they're new.
Yeah, yeah.
I've only seen old trannies.
Well, if you don't change the fluid, yeah, short-lived. Yeah.
They have to wear that fluid for a year.
My owner's manual says every 50,000 miles. I don't know.
Sorry. Well,
we're going to burn in hell.
The legacy of this Ford Escort was that when he finally did get back to Quincy, the starter blew on it. Well, my dad helped my brother out by hooking this thing up where it had two wires on the engine. So my brother had to basically turn the key to the on position, pop the hood, get out, pray that he had a quarter, and then hold the quarter between the two wires to start the engine.
Is this the same car that later had a string to open the gas? Yes.
It had those back windows that pop out at an angle. My brother opened one up, ran a string to the gas tank. And if he wanted to open it, he was so proud of it, too. He's like, yeah, I can open the thing from the inside. And he pulls in the string, and the gas thing opened. Oh, well, we gave my brother so much crap about this car. And one thing we didn't know about it, he revealed this weekend, which was, he said, well, you remember when the windows stopped working? And we're like, no, we didn't know anything about that. He's like, well, what I did was I took the panels off the inside of the car and I dropped the window down and I took all the mechanism out of there and just left the glass. And I got myself a 2x4 and then I could either have it open or closed. So
I know Popular Mechanics wants his story.
So my brother,
he took a manual car and just automated the whole thing.
He riced it up.
Did he also put a big Ford sticker on the back? That's worth 3 extra horsepower.
No, he put our name in the back, in his back window, in big Gothic letters in Spanish, of course.
Tomas.
Oh.
So.
You know what we didn't get all prepared for this week?
Oh.
Who doesn't love this one? Me.
Well, after 3 days of traveling together, there's a refractory period, yeah, if you will. Yeah.
Are you saying that I was on your nerves?
No,
you were on his bed.
We did have
to share a bed one night.
We did. And actually that worked out pretty well. That was the last night.
Yes. It wasn't so awful.
It wasn't so bad. She really does generate a lot of heat with that.
Oh,
so.
Oh, good God! Yes,
hot pussy,
and you're like,
literally,
honey, you left the oven light on.
Pilot light.
Oh, did I turn the iron off? Apparently not. And it's in our bed. It's up against my butt.
You could have just put your shirt there.
Yeah, run your shirt through there.
It's like you take her legs. It's like one of those trouser presses.
Exactly.
You know, you just open them up and you slide your trousers.
Cloud
in.
Of steam coming off.
Or we could make silkscreen T-shirts.
Something with them puffy, velvety letters.
Oh, I missed those.
All in black.
So, no, I did. I wrote down howdy do's.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, I tell you what, Dina, I wrote them all down. I'm sure there's some you had in mind.
I do.
So, I'll let you read off the ones you want, and then I'll just take what's left.
Well, that's hot.
John, do you
pussy.
Have any howdy do's? Did you talk to anybody on the IM or on your MySpace?
I seen your MySpace, by the way. I like your picture.
You like my space?
Uh-huh.
I ain't been to your MySpace. So I guess that's yourspace.com. It's right?
It's MySpace. I have like 22 friends. Thank you to everyone who's added me, friended me. Ooh. I've been befriended, which
not
is the hell.
Not on the Friendster, though.
No. Yeah. I got a Friendster, but...
Friendster's as bad as MySpace.
Yeah. Well, the thing about MySpace, what you'll notice if you go to my page is unfortunately, I'm not advanced, so you can still actually read everything that's on it because I haven't put a multicolored background or a picture that makes all the text sort of disappear. And I don't have an obnoxious song that plays when you go to it. So I'm just in diapers on
something
the MySpace.
That sounds like it's on a Casio keyboard.
Right.
Rumba.
Demo.
I loved the demo. So I used to trick my cousins. I'd say, oh, look what I can play. And I'd hit the demo, and then I'd pretend, and they fell for it every time.
Okay, secret shame moment. Every time I go into, like, Costco or Sam's Club or whatever, John and I, we do it together. We go and we play with the keyboards, and secretly we both want one with, like, the full size. We want
the one that's too big for the home we're living in.
Yeah, and I have no idea how to play anything, but I love it!
I can play Hot Crest Buns.
It's kind of like
that. Yeah. Well, my first howdy-do
yes.
goes to Eric from the Boston area. He's actually from New York, though. He is a straight man who introduced himself to me on the M. That's the oh. I am. And he was chit-chatting with you as well.
He was. I'll tell you what. I have had a great week of chatting with people. Between the Frapper Map. Have you seen the Frapper Map?
Love
Frapper
the Frapper.
Frapper Map. There's tons of people on there. And, okay, I don't know. When I look at the Frapper Map and people put all of their pictures on there, first of all, I think we have the hottest
audience.
Group of listeners on the planet.
You even say that about some of the women.
I do. Oh, there are some cutie patooties.
I heard it.
So I'll see your Eric howdy-do.
Oh,
and I'll raise you an Eric.
Oh.
This Eric is in Washington, and he is we couldn't picture all our listeners at Roscoe's because half of them aren't old enough to get in.
That's true.
Have you noticed
the other
this?
Half are really busy making their graphic art.
That's right, because they're all graphic artists. So I have learned on the IM that I got to find out how old people are before I start going into my normal flirty, you know.
Love and lube.
Right.
Lube and love.
Exactly, because I could get arrested.
Heard it.
So how do you do to Eric from Washington? He posted a comment and he made the rounds.
Oh, yeah.
In cyberspace.
I would just like to say about our Frapper Map.
Yeah.
Why are you stroking your microphone?
Stroking my hot mic.
Put your hot mic in me.
I would like to see more people from Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and Montana and Wyoming.
So I think of that as Tuesday, because if you put the United States in a calendar... We got Sunday covered real well.
Yeah.
Monday's all right, but Tuesday's
where
we're
a little
lacking.
Empty. Yeah, probably got some space. Well, I'll do another howdy-do. Speaking of Utah, we got a howdy-do going out to Mike in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake Shitty.
Salt Lake Shitty. He posted a little howdy-do on our Frapper Map and said that anytime we're going to be in the shitty area to...
give him a shitty
give him a
call.
Get your ass over here.
Don't clean it.
So howdy do to Mike.
And howdy do. Oh, got enough. We had some girls contact us,
we
too.
We did.
And one of them, well, we talked to a couple girls, but one in particular is Christy. She had a question for John, which, of course, he didn't respond to. So we'll pose it now and see if the answer is, in fact, what I said. Her question is, go ahead, caller. Why drink the ass bag tea if the pill is more effective?
No, the ass bag tea is more effective.
Oh.
The pill is...
But it doesn't taste as bad.
Well, yeah, she said, why drink the nasty ass tea when you can just take the pill and not have to drink it?
I fucked up a howdy-do. So why?
We are all back together, aren't we?
Only you had done that last week.
Right.
No, the pills don't taste bad, but they don't do as well either.
I told her it was because you were cheap.
Oh, no, the pills are less expensive.
Oh, you mean you're spending good money on that tea?
Yeah, good money on that bad tea.
We're recording at John's tonight, and upon arrival, it smelled of ass again. But this time he had cabbage and ham. Get your ham, Tina, for dinner. And I assure you, this will result in some sort of explosion later.
I let a big juicy one on this wooden chair right before you got here.
Oh, that's aww. Wonderful. I would like to send out a howdy-do to David. We got a couple of David. We got Eric's and David's. We got a full house here. No, we got David, and this one is David in Sydney.
Oh.
Who is the howdy-do straight boy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the one that mentioned that I shouldn't be ashamed of my bad stories, right?
I think so. People are sticking up for you. They're like, you're mean to John.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate
it. I love
all
your pointless stories that don't go anywhere. They make my day brighter.
You people only have 5 more months until this bitch moves to Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Early Monday morning.
Right.
In fact, you're going to be up. You're an all-day event.
I'm going to be late.
On Monday. Amen to
that. I'll be late Sunday, early Monday.
So how did we're getting a little concentration down in the Sydney, Melbourne area. I think we're going to have to, maybe we'll put that on the tour calendar for 2007.
Oh, eight? Please. You can go. You're going to have a passport soon.
That's right. Soon enough.
Soon
is that so you can go to Switzerland?
Well, no, but that's a good point. I'll throw that out there. I'm sure we'll bring it up. We should have a whole section, like a little spot on the website for where we're going to be.
Where in the world is DTWF?
I'm actually going to be in London, England, as opposed to Ontario. on June 7th through the 12th. So, and I think we got a couple people out that way. So if you're going to be in the greater metropolitan London area,
land
area, would love you with you. And I'm going to spend the day. I'm going to meet Jason. He's going to come to Toronto. I'm flying through Toronto.
Oh, I thought you were going to be in London, England.
Yeah, through Toronto to London.
Okay.
So I set up my flight. So actually on the 7th, I'll be in Toronto all day. So let's have dinner, drinks or something.
You need to go to Chocolate.
Heard it.
Actually, nowhere near the airport, but it's good.
I got 6 hours, so.
Maybe Kai will say hello. So Kai, come out of the woodwork.
Oh, no, you're not going to be there, so Kai won't be interested.
He likes me. Although I have a prediction for him. I gave it to him already, though. I'm a regular Nostradamus.
Oh.
With a really gross voice.
I'm a regular Nostradamus.
Right. Well, you know, Manny loves us equally.
Yes, he does.
He says that all of us have something that we add to the show. So I think that was one of those where I was like, oh, maybe John will respond then. No, no such luck.
Thanks,
but howdy do to Manny out in San Diego.
Howdy do to Patrick up in Vancouver.
We like our Canucks.
That is French. Mm-hmm. We do. We do. I told him he's a bit of a geek, too, a Mac geek. So I already told him he's Canadian. He's cute. He's
Justin's
a Mac
determined
geek.
His husband lives in England, Australia, or Canada.
any of the part of the UK. Basically, if you are part of or ever were part of, controlled, or ruled by the Queen of England,
that's
if
us.
The Queen is on your money,
that's right.
Justin is your honey. That might be your t-shirt.
If the queen is on your money, Justin is on your money's on the dresser.
Chocolate, which is in Toronto, has a great chocolate martini down on King Street. And did you have any howdy do's there, John? We just keep going back and forth. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't have any howdy do's.
Well, here, we'll share with you.
Do you want to do a howdy do, John?
I'd love to.
There's the one you can fuck up on there somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Is it this one here?
You can fuck up whichever one you prefer.
Okay. I'd like to send a howdy-do out to Manny from San Diego.
We already did that one.
Sorry.
Well, you fucked it up. That's How about pick a new one?
He was double done.
I saw this one. Jonathan from Jet Podcast, which is outside of San Francisco, California.
It is. Drove right past Daly City.
Saw the big sign, Jet Podcast.
This exit. It was right. Amoco, right, half mile.
Berkeley, Oakland, Jet Podcast.
J.A. Podcast.
Well, howdy do, Jonathan.
We chatted on the AIM for a little while.
From one.
He's another
Joe
one
Nathan
of our
to another.
18 to 21 crowd.
I'm a Jonathan, too. Yeah, look at me, I'm pretty.
Join the Jonathan Club.
I hate church.
Angela, Jonathan.
That's Tony Maselli. Never mind. Some people out there will get it.
A need.
Fuck off.
I don't know why everything's got to be so angry. What's wrong with angry?
That's angry, not crazy.
What's wrong with angry is they didn't have an air conditioner.
That is. We went to see this play called What's Wrong with Angry at this theater that was the size of John's apartment and had no air conditioning. And it was, what, August?
Yeah. And it had about 200 people inside. I exaggerate. 100, though.
Yeah. And I thought that the the boys getting half naked on stage was just gratuitous nudity. No, the bitches were hot.
They were hot.
The funny thing though, we're sitting there right before the show starts and they come on and the lights come down. Like, welcome to the, I forget what the name of
Drink
the theater
to a funny
was.
Podcast.
And they're like, you know, our small theater needs your support. So if you'd like to contribute to our, you know, our nonprofit organization to buy things like a new air conditioner, please leave a donation on your way out.
We did. It was called, I bought 18 half-liter bottles of water.
Yes, we did. We went through some water.
We did.
That was a good time, though.
We would have died otherwise.
Well, heard it.
You need water.
So,
water.
I think that's all for the Howdy Do's.
I think that's it. Okay.
Did we get David in San Antonio, Texas?
I don't think so.
Somebody scratched it off. Probably me. See, I fuck them up sometimes, too.
Well, we're an equal opportunity fucker uppers.
We are. Howdy Do going out to David, San Antonio, Texas.
That's where Howdy Do originated.
I believe it is.
With paste picante sauce.
New York City?
I feel like I'm being a little, just a smidge rushed, so I'll just tell you this one. The little thing is that a couple episodes ago, we were talking about how boyfriend John got attacked by a goose. I have that, well, not that neurosis, but rather geese just eat shit and fly, and they can usually do two of those at the same time. So if I'm in my parking lot of work, for example, and I hear, I take cover because I'm afraid of a big giant shit bomb hitting me.
I think that happened to Bob one time. Like, he had his sunroof open and they were taking off.
He had just closed it and then plop.
And geese, much like Star Destroyers, always dump their garbage before going to hyperspace.
But I get a little scared when I'm walking around and I hear the geese overhead.
Well, it looks like you successfully avoided any shit bombs.
Well, today.
Anybody ever been shit on by a bird?
Yeah, I have.
I have not.
It's awful.
It happened in. This is funny, ironic funny, because nothing I ever say is funny.
But, so it's a different brand of funny.
But
if you like funny, you'll love Johnny.
It's President's Choice funny.
It's Aldi funny. Who are we kidding? It's
87 cents.
It's Sweet Harvest funny.
Only you would know the brand.
So, if you've ever been to Macomb,
it's right next to my brush.
There's a park called Chandler Park there. And it's got this brick sidewalk that goes crisscrosses. It makes a big X out of the park. I happened to be running one day with my friend Jen, and I got right to the middle of the X, which
marks the spot.
Right. It's sort of a target, basically, right when the bird hit me on the head with a big thing of duty. And was it
civic duty?
It wasn't
jury duty.
It was in an urban dwelling, so yes, it was civic. But yeah, that's what happened to me. Thank you, Nudge.
Thank you for indulging me.
Our menu options have changed.
All right, we're at an hour.
Well, then we're done.
We're done. So, bitches,
you can email us.
Send us an email, and Dina and I will respond. Dina or I will respond. John will read it at Rubber Spatula.
And then I'll mark it as unread.
So that we don't know he's read it. Rubber Spatula at dtwfpodcast.com.
Or give us a phone call at 773-828-4397. Been a couple weeks.
Go to our website, dtwfpodcast.com, and add yourself to our Frapper Map.
Frapper Map. And then Justin and I are both available on the AIM at DTWF Justin and DTWF Dina.
Find Justin on MySpace at www.myspace.com/DTWFJustin.
Thank you and good night.
This concludes our day's programming. Please join us again tomorrow.
If this were an actual emergency, we would probably run and kissed our asses goodbye.
And this is where we fade to the 1947 vinyl recording of the Star Spangled Banner. And they show only just the flag playing.